me an update. Where do things stand for you legally?
Well, technically, there are three options. I am reviewed for parole every year. Then there's also the possibility of a conditional pardon every 2 years. And there's still the possibility of repatriation, which is possibly the least likely at this stage, but that's also still technically pending at the U.S. Department of Justice until either the current or a future Virginia governor decides to go ahead.
Now, the conditional pardon, would that also come from the governor? And if so, under what conditions?
A conditional pardon can only be granted by the governor, and it's granted when there is doubt about the conviction. It's not technically a declaration of innocence. Only a full pardon is a declaration of innocence. A conditional pardon means that basically the conviction is no longer considered safe. There are too many doubts that have arisen.
Do you require that exoneration? Do you feel, as a matter of principle, that you should be cleared of the crime, or don't you care?
Oh, I care a lot, but I'm also a reasonable person, and I think it's obvious to anybody in Virginia that my case has been very heavily politicized, especially these last few years, since 2010. So at this stage, I just want to go home. And if that's by parole, I've certainly earned parole, so that would be acceptable to me, even though it would not be a finding of innocence. It would simply be a recognition that I've served over 10,000 days as of last Thursday, August the 14th. It was 10,000 days, 27 years, 3 months, and 23 days as of today, entirely without incurring any institutional infractions and showing every sign of rehabilitation, having gone through all the programs that they've asked me to go through. And I've had 9 books published and over 50 articles. So, parole would be justified. It would be appropriate. And it's unfortunate that they haven't granted it to me. But that would make no statement about my innocence. There's a 2-stage process in the parole process. There's a parole interview here at the prison where an employee of the parole board comes to the prison and speaks with the prisoners for about 15 minutes. And then there's also a board hearing, which the prisoners do not attend. That's just for family members, friends, and supporters. And that is going to happen on September the 23rd this year.
Yeah, do you have reason for optimism this particular year?
Absolutely not. This current parole board has a parole grant rate of approximately 2%, which means that 98% of the prisoners are denied parole. And I think it's very unlikely that the current parole board would grant me parole. Last year, they actually denied me parole 11 days before the board hearing. So that tells you something about how the current parole board operates. They're not even making a pretense of giving me a fair hearing. They're giving me the turn down 11 days before the hearing, and they might not be quite so egregiously unfair this year, at least in public, but they're not going to give me a fair hearing, and they're not going to release me.
When it looked like you might be repatriated, I understand that there were objections that came from the Haysom family, and I'm wondering if you've attempted to make any contact with them.
That's not allowed. There are laws that have been passed in Virginia which forbid prisoners from contacting victims' families.
And if you could contact them, what would you say?
Well, my main initial thing that I would really love to say is that I'm so, so sorry for causing them so much misery for all these decades. I could have spared them all that by telling the truth immediately, and that's entirely my fault. I did cause those people a lot of pain, and it is my fault, and I wish I could undo it. I was only 18 at the time. That's not much of an excuse, but it's the only one I've got. I should have told the truth immediately. I knew that that was the right thing to do, and I did not do it, and if I had to do it all over again, I would have immediately gone to the police. And I'm just so sorry. I really, truly am. There's no excuse for it. There really isn't.
Did you have a sense when you were being interrogated by local police that there was any sort of discrimination against you because you were German?
Not because I was German, no.
Was there a culture gap, though, between you and the community that was prosecuting you?
Oh, sure. And certainly that was more from my end, I think, than from their end. I was absolutely terrified back in the late 1980s, and then at my trial in 1990, I was completely out of my depth and young and, frankly, an idiot. So I reacted to all of that fear and terror by sometimes acting quite arrogantly. And that's something I regret. And again, it was just wrong of me. I had no reason and no excuse for that. But when you're scared out of your wits, you sometimes do inappropriate things, and I did. And so I don't think that there's any kind of specifically anti-German animus that made the crucial difference in my case. I understand, of course, that Bedford County lost a greater percentage of its citizens during the D-Day invasion than any other city or town in the United States. But I think, again, to the extent that that contributed to my trial, I don't think that that was the decisive factor.
Does the law preclude you from contacting Elizabeth Haysom?
Yes, it does. Writing another prisoner at another facility is an institutional infraction, and that would, you know, basically ruin my prison record.
Yeah, now she continues to insist that you were involved in the crime.
Of course, that's her only chance of making parole. As long as she continues to insist that I'm the guilty one, then she has some hope of making parole herself. So there's no chance of her ever telling the truth.
On the other hand, you have said you forgive her for fingering you in a couple of murders you deny committing. How were you able to...
Well, let's be fair. I mean, the person who fingered himself here is me. You know, I lied to the police. That wasn't her fault or her decision. I'm the one who lied to the police. I can't blame her for that. Now, she had an opportunity to tell the truth at my trial, but that was after I lied to the police. So I don't really have a right to be very angry at her.
I think it's well known that during your time in prison, you have committed yourself to the study of religion. You have practiced meditation. You've written a number of books. Is it nine now?
It's nine books. Nine books and over 50 articles, and I've got a blog. You know, at the end of the day, the worst thing about prison life is the complete and total uselessness of this existence. I think any normal human being wants to make a difference, wants to make their little corner of the world better. And that is essentially what is impossible to do in prison. You just cannot really affect your life and your circumstances because you're behind bars. That's what the whole point of this is, to take away all power to do anything, including good things. So, yeah, I think I've certainly tried to use my time wisely, and I've worked very hard, especially these last few years, to get all these books published and all the other stuff. But at the end of the day, looking back over the last, you know, 10,000 days, 27 years, it's just been one enormous waste. And I regret every day I've spent in here.
How do you feel knowing that there are political forces at work for you in Germany?
I'm very grateful for that. Those people have no obligation to help me. They're doing it out of their own kindness of heart. And I think also because when you step outside Virginia a little bit and try to look at this whole case objectively, I think it's pretty clear that to outsiders that this has been just a massive miscarriage of justice initiated by me. I'm the one who got it all rolling. But yeah, I think it's clear now, especially based on the DNA tests and now recently the FBI profile, that, you know, from the very beginning, it was possible to see that I did not do this. And today, I think anybody who looks at it, you know, with a halfway objective eye can see that I didn't do this crime. That has a lot to do with why I've got so much support in Germany. You know, DNA tests don't lie. And, you know, the FBI, you know, it's their business to do crime scene profiles, among other things. So
you've made public statements suggesting that you're prepared for the possibility that you may never be released. Is that still how you feel?
Sure, you have to. I'm a realistic person.
What would be your biggest regret if that happens?
Dying in prison for a crime I didn't commit. Basically in Virginia now, and certainly in a highly politicized case like mine, the idea is to make people die in prison. And in my particular case, the worst part of it would be that you're making an innocent man die in prison. And that's not just a problem for me. Frankly, that's a problem for all of Virginia because, you know, we live in a democracy here, and that means that the citizenry, the voters, bear some responsibility for what their government does. Now, it's a fact that a previous governor, current senator, Timothy Kaine, made the right decision. courageous decision. He made the call back in late 2009, early 2010, that at that stage, 24 years was enough. And unfortunately, the current governor withdrew consent and basically overturned Governor Kane's decision. But that doesn't make Governor Kane's decision wrong. It just means that Governor McDonnell abused his powers for his own personal reasons, which I think we're seeing right now in the news is a pattern with him. I desperately needed a second chance to start my life afresh and maybe get a little forgiveness. And I think currently he's worried about his own second chances. He had a chance to do something right back in 2010, and he didn't. You know, he made a decision on the spur of a moment without speaking to my lawyers, without sending anybody to go talk to me, and basically destroyed my life. You know, I could have been returned to Germany 3.5 years ago, and instead I'm sitting here talking to you. That's not something I'm happy about. And I'm not happy that this stuff is happening to him now. All I'm saying is it seems to demonstrate a pattern that, you know, he used his office to, you know, do what he felt was right without looking too closely at what was the morally right thing to do. You know, all he had to do was let the previous administration's decision be carried out. He could have criticized it. He didn't have to stop it.
Right. Americans seem somewhat conflicted about the function of a prison. That is to say, some would tell you that prisons are there to punish people and that if they commit serious crimes like murder, that they should be punished for the rest of their lives. Nevertheless, we do call it the Department of Corrections, suggesting that we can correct people's behaviors, their attitudes. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, overall, obviously, I tend to favor rehabilitation and correction, if you will. I've spent 27 years in here with these people, and I can tell you that most of them are salvageable, and they are citizens of your country. Let me tell you a quick story in this regard. Just recently, I voted in the German national election by mail. This is allowed in Germany. Prisoners are still citizens, and they still enjoy citizenship rights, even in prison, even in foreign prisons. I was allowed to vote in my country's election. And here in this country, of course, prisoners are not allowed to vote, except I think in Maine. I think Maine allows it, but the other states do not allow it, and prisoners are treated almost as non-citizens. It illustrates a fundamental problem. You can't forget that the people behind bars are human beings. They're still a member of your community. They're still Americans, and they should be treated as human beings with rights. They've done some stuff wrong, there's no question, but you can't dehumanize them. Now, that's my overall opinion towards correction and the prison system, but let's not forget, in my specific case, there's a different thing going on, okay, which is that I myself should have never been put in prison at all. I committed a misdemeanor, which was accomplice after the fact. I should have been in the local county jail for a year or two, because that's all I did. And the first thing you need to do with your justice system before you start talking about rehabilitation or punishment is make sure that you've got guilty people locked up and innocent people released. And, you know, in other states, and sometimes when it's politically convenient, even in Virginia, they do release wrongly convicted prisoners. And I wish Virginia would do it in my case because I did not commit this crime. And, you know, that's the first priority in any justice system. Before you make any other policy calls, make sure you lock up the right people.
You have talked about feeling caught in the middle of a political situation, a culture war, if you will. Can you explain that? How do you view your situation in the context of American politics?
Well, it started back in the late 1980s when there was an attempt to have me executed here in the United States, and I was indicted on capital murder. So my lawyers in England appealed the case to the European Court of Human Rights, and my case was the one that stopped death penalty extraditions to the United States back in 1989. And that became highly politicized and caused a lot of controversy. And so that's really never stopped, which is really unfortunate, because that was really not my fault. Yes, my lawyers appealed the case to the European Court, but what else was I supposed to do? And over the years, it's continued like that. And then here recently, in the Senate race between George Allen and Timothy Kaine, unfortunately, the attempted repatriation by former Governor Kaine was used as a campaign issue in 2011, and it was even brought up at the first televised debate between George Allen and Timothy Kaine. And that's a real shame. But again, that's not something that I had any control over or that I would have chosen. Those are decisions made by other people to turn me into a political football. And under those circumstances, of course, it's, you know, very difficult to then do the right thing.
What sources of comfort would you cite? What gives you comfort as you think about your situation, as you work toward the possibility of release? Are there individuals? Are there situations that comfort you?
Well, the most important thing over the last 27 years has been the support of my friends. That's been absolutely just rock solid and fantastic for decades and decades. I've been so lucky to have such wonderful people fighting for me. And then the other thing is that even now, you know, 27 years later, there's still new evidence coming out.
And in your most...
Not time to give up yet.
Right. And in your most optimistic moments, what do you hope will happen?
I don't really speculate on the future. I did that when I thought I was going home in 2010. I started making all kinds of plans for my life in Germany. I thought about starting an innocence project in Germany, because the German justice system, you know, they make mistakes too over there. But they don't have an innocence project. So that's something I really wanted to do. And then, of course, all that was destroyed by Governor McDonnell. And ever since then, I really don't think about the future like that anymore. I can't afford to.